there's a dramatic contrast between the daily gospel reading with which we started and the festal gospel reading with which we concluded, which I wanted to bring out today because I think it's instructive for us in that it reveals for us the proper balance between things as important and disparate, or apparently disparate, as activism and the gospel, or more simply, activity and contemplation, or even service and prayer. In the daily gospel reading, we have Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. "Woe unto you, you hypocrites," he says to them. You have to understand here, the scribes and the Pharisees were the religious educated elite, the religious activists of their day. They were the ones who were actively engaging with the law of God as it had been entrusted to them. And they were being very, very careful to observe the law. You know, they tithe, they gave a tithe, even from every single jar on their spice rack. That was how attentive they were to the detail of observing God's holy law. And it was these very people that Jesus was pronouncing woes upon. Why? Because he says, you pay tithe of anise and mint and cumin, and yet you have neglected the weightier matters of the law. Justice. They missed the point. They missed the spirit. They missed the interior aspect of the law in their focus on the exterior. There's actually a bit of a parallel, as well as a contrast, in the gospel reading for the feast. In it, you have Martha, who is very concerned about all the details of getting her hosting of the Lord, who is, of course, very important and ought to be treated with the greatest possible honor and respect, getting all those details right. And so she's hurrying around, making sure that, you know, nothing's left undone, and there's all these things on her to-do list. And while she's doing that, Mary, her sister, is just sitting there, doing nothing. She's just sitting there at the Lord's feet, listening to her. That's exactly what Martha would really like to do, I'm sure. But Mary's doing that, and Martha's having to do all the work. It's just not fair. And so she actually asks Jesus to get her sister to get up and contribute something, you know, do some work here, help out a little bit. And instead of doing that, our Lord gives a very gentle rebuke to Martha. He says, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and being careful about very many things. But Mary has chosen the better part, the best part. And what she has chosen will not be taken away from her." And I think there's another parallel that we can see along with the contrast in the conclusion, which is, of course, a selection from a later part of the gospel, where it's now actually talking about Mary, the Mother of God, whom we are celebrating today in her dormition or in her falling asleep. And some woman in the crowd raises up her voice and says, "Blessed is the womb that bore you, and blessed are the breasts that nursed you." And Jesus' response is a kind of yes, but. More importantly, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Mary, the mother of our Lord, who's falling asleep, we are celebrating and commemorating today, was the first and the greatest of the holy ones of God, of the saints. And yet, what did she do? What did she accomplish? In the world's terms, not very much. She gave birth to one child and raised one child. And that, in terms of her worldly accomplishments, that was pretty much it. But what little we have of her in the Gospels paints a very clear picture of someone who the church characterizes with this reading of the story of Martha and Mary of Bethany. Luke, in his Gospel, says that repeatedly she treasured all these things up that she witnessed in her heart. And she pondered them. And Luke also, in the book of Acts, makes it really clear that Mary was there in the midst praying. And that's basically what she did. She was the Mary who sat at Jesus' feet, drinking it all in, wondering and marveling at this child, at this boy, at this man, who was himself the ultimate revelation of the God whom she loved and adored and served and was willing to give her whole life for. And if we think about this source of holiness, we think about what the church is drawing our attention to here on this great feast of her death. It's precisely that priority and that prioritization of the interior life, of the relationship with that one person, God made flesh, that transformed who Mary was. And through that, changed the whole world. That is what God is calling us to. He's not saying that we should neglect our tithe of mint and anise and cumin. He says, no, you should still do that. That's still important. But the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, love. That's the heart of it. The person who gave the law, God himself, and our relationship with him, as prescribed by, as outlined by, as taught within the law, that's the heart of it. And as we cultivate that relationship with prayer, with contemplation, everything that comes out of that, all the activity or the activism or the service that comes out of that, will be made holy. But if we get it backwards, that just messes everything up. Because that's exactly when we are tempted to feel self-righteous, to condemn those around us. Now, why isn't that person doing as much? Or, look at me, I am doing all of this. And the problem there is simply one of focus. when the activity precedes the contemplation, the prayer, the focus is on ourselves, on what we're doing, on how we can change the world. When our primary focus is simply on sitting in wonder, in receptive contemplation at the feet of the God-man, Jesus Christ, that's transformative. And then everything that comes out of that, and we ourselves, will be made holy. To the glory of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.